Live on DAB Digital Radio, Colorful.com, and apps. This is Colorful Radio.
The Paris Olympics officially closed last night with a star-studded ceremony which saw the Olympic flag passed on to Los Angeles, the hosts in 2028. Tom Cruise jumped from the roof of the Stade de France to collect the flag and take it to Hollywood. The Prince and Princess of Wales released a video of celebrities congratulating athletes.
Your performances have been absolutely fantastic.
You have been amazing. Thank you so much for everything. These memories will last a very long time.
Well done, Team GB. You did us all proud.
The government wants water companies that fail to meet basic standards to have to pay customers more in compensation. The government introduced a new water bill in the King's Speech last month, pledging to improve water quality. Research from the RAC suggests potholes on local roads have become the biggest worry for drivers. The state of the roads were a bigger concern than the cost of insurance or fuel. And today could be the warmest day of the year so far. Temperatures up to 34 or 35 in the southeast of England. That's the latest from Radio News Hub. I'm Stephen Davis.
Coming up, metaphorically speaking.
Live on DAB Digital Radio, Colorful.com, and apps. This is Colorful Radio. Colorful.
Delia. Delore. Colorful Radio.
Hello and welcome to Metaphorically Speaking. I'm Delia Delore, and each week we dissect a popular motto, mantra, or metaphor, looking at their origins and finding how they translate to everyday life. Our metaphor this week is one that you've probably heard. It's not a very popular one, but it's one that when you say it, you start thinking, well, how can that be used? So it's very interesting to hear what our guest, Petal Miller, has to say about this metaphor, which is, manners will lead you to the Queen's Palace. Like I said, I'm sure you've heard it, right? Manners will lead you to the Queen's Palace. These words capture the universal understanding of manners as a deeply human phenomenon. An aspect of life that is really questioned, yet simultaneously expected. The Oxford Dictionary describes manners as polite ways of treating other people and behaving in public. Though these expressions of gratitude are demonstrated in varying ways across the globe, it remains a universal truth that the expression of manners, in any capacity, is an intrinsic trait of human nature, regardless of who or where. It often seems as though there's a certain symbiosis between good manners and an individual's prosperity. Quite simply, those who use their manners and equip their offspring with the same outlook tend to succeed as a result of their respect and reverence for others.
I was born, lucky me.
This objectively parochial number was released in 1969 and is clearly a political statement. Ray Davies adopts multiple voices in the song and exclaims that life was clean, sex was bad, call obscene. And the rich were so mean, stately homes for the lords, Victoria was my queen. So you might be wondering how this relates to our metaphor, but bear with me, because it's all very cynical. Victoria, his queen, is synecdochically representative of honouring something higher than oneself. We could think of it as a kind of personal performance that relies on the expression of manners. This performance of social conduct was all for his Victoria. Manners, in some ways, keeps the ID, the primitive part of the personality, at bay during conversation, nonverbal interactions with friends, relatives, and even strangers. Manners prevent random interjection and ultimately protect people from those negative reactions. Let's explore the varying strains of this mantra. The prolific works of English author Geoffrey Chaucer are abundant with the philosophy of manners and the practicing of such. Chaucer's Canterbury Tales are over 630 years old. However, its seniority does not detract from the sturdy backbone of morality. Medieval Europe strictly adhered to the laws of the chivalric code. This code epitomizes the social attitudes and standards of behavior for the average person to abide by. Now, this is a far cry from modern portrayals of chivalry. The knights of Middle England conducted themselves to the highest degree for fear of dishonoring their duty to God and those less fortunate. They were governed by their belief in well-mannered conduct. This moral system encompassed piety, honor, valor, courtesy, chastity, and loyalty. Now, these values majorly contributed to the formation of manners. It might seem archaic, but elements of these traits are visible in our conduct even today. It must be said that chivalry is an inherently masculine form of politeness. In the Journal of British Studies, Michelle Cohen discusses the disintegration of politeness and how this practice ended. Cohen addresses the fact that politeness and etiquette are actually not synonymous. Though politeness is concerned with social performance, it was mostly virtue and personal identity. Politeness and manliness became intertwined in the early 18th century, which of course was a time of sheer depravity and simultaneous external beauty. British historian John Tosh argues that politeness became redundant as gentlemanliness became the dominant social character. So let's simplify things. The general tone of 18th century Britain was that politeness was perhaps too integrating, too pleasing, and so politeness and expressions of manners became feminized and domesticated. Indeed, British society hearkened to the medieval chivalric code and rejected the feminine notions of womanish politeness. Cohen describes this shift in attitudes as a different system of manners for men. The resurrection of traditional chivalry in the 18th and 19th centuries is widely contested, but acknowledged as a deeply political phenomenon.
There's room at the top, they are telling you still. But first you must learn how to smile as you kill. If you want to be like the folks on the hill.
The soothing tones of Lennon's voice cannot distract us from the lyrical poignancy. It tells us that there's room at the top, they're telling you still, but first you must learn how to smile as you kill if you want to be like the folks on the hill. Lennon said himself that the song concerned the working classes being processed into the great machine. We don't need to be so literal in our understanding of the lyrics, because to smile as you kill most likely alludes to the killing of the soul, as the veneer of a smile is always maintained by one's manners and desire to please. It is also believed that the etymology of these words can be traced to the seminal writings of English writer William Horman. Horman was headmaster of Eton and Winchester College in early Tudor England, and therefore the aphorism, "Manners maketh man," was delicately composed by Horman for his male students to adhere to as part of a large collection of Latin proverbs called Vulgaria. Again, this expression is almost 500 years old, but the sentiment remains the same. He believed that the strict adherence to manners was enough to make the adult man. Horman also said, "Many a ragged colt, proud to a good horse, meaning both nature and nurture must be considered when accounting for the existence of good manners in a person. In a more abstract sense, perhaps we should question the act of expressing manners and how this became basic human conduct. If we reduce manners to social etiquette and your average daily interaction with the fellow dog walker or chatty barista, why would it seem so preposterous to reject their good morning and simply request a coffee without expressing any gratitude for honoring that? Well, it just doesn't feel right. It produces an almost visceral reaction when manners aren't reciprocated. Maybe now would be a good time to explore the psychology of manners. Most psychologists believe that the expression of gratitude, so etiquette and manners, is an evolved form of cooperation. Manners diminish the likelihood of a negative reaction to the interaction. Essentially, polite conduct keeps the peace and serves as a verbal and even physical protection. So let's return back to the psychology part. Naomi Eisenberger et al. Found that displays of rudeness or unreciprocated politeness actually activates pain regions in the brain. As I mentioned before, there's a symbiotic relationship between good manners and social acceptance, which in turn results in general success. However, humans possess a high degree of nuance, meaning some individuals may perceive manners as burdensome or a hindrance to their day, and others may view them as second nature and entirely necessary for their own sanity. The hormonal response towards manners, or lack thereof, must also be considered. So, oxytocin, or the love hormone, is produced in the hypothalamus and binds to oxytocin receptors to influence behavior. Many studies have found oxytocin to be instrumental in social affiliation and maternal bonding, revealing the physiological underpinnings of why some individuals are skilled social interactors and others may fall by the wayside in terms of securing and retaining relationships. In a nutshell, high levels of oxytocin, which is believed to be high in cases of positive childhoods, combined with a well-socialized upbringing, is likely to produce a well-mannered human being with an attuned emotional radar.
Did you have a pleasant evening?
Yes, thank you.
Good.
Would you like to know what took place?
I have to return upstairs. There are events of the utmost importance taking place in this house tonight.
Ah, when are there not? I accepted his proposal.
Miss Kenton?
I accepted Mr. Benn's proposal of marriage.
My congratulations.
I am prepared to serve out my notice, but if you were able to release me earlier, I would be grateful. Mr. Benn is planning to leave for the West Country in 2 weeks' time.
I'll do my best. Now, please excuse me.
Mr. Stevens?
Yes, Stevens.
Am I to take it that after all the years I have been in this house, you have nothing else to say to me?
You have my warmest congratulations.
Did you know you have been a very important figure for Mr. Benn and me?
To question whether people or even certain establishments are worthy of one's unwavering manners is something prolific novelist and screenwriter Kazuo Ishiguro captured so poignantly. He explores the notion of regret tied to lifelong subservience and the dehumanization of the self as a result of never stepping out of line. It is a cautionary tale as the protagonist deprives himself of what he truly desires for fear of not honoring his role as butler, brought to life by Anthony Hopkins. His character is condemned to a life of utmost loyalty.
I accepted his proposal.
Miss Kenton?
I accepted Mr. Benn's proposal of marriage.
Congratulations.
I am prepared to serve out my notice, but if you were able to release me earlier, I would be grateful. Mr. Benn is planning to leave for the West Country in 2 weeks' time.
I'll do my best. Now, please excuse me.
Mr. Stevens?
Yes, Stinton.
Am I to take it that after all the years I have been in this house, you have nothing else to say to me?
You have my warmest congratulations.
And mechanized manner provokes Miss Kenton. His abnormal level of tact disturbs her. It's as though he's unable to break character, even when the curtains are drawn on his day's work. He cannot abdicate from his role because it's become deeply and irretrievably internalized, so much so that even when the offer is on the table, he keeps his eyes firmly averted from the distraction as he views it. Here, Miss Kenton is informing her colleague that she is leaving to marry Mr. Benn, a former butler. What she really intends to do, of course, is provoke Stevens and perforate his facade in the attempt to release his true emotion, devoid of manners.
Captain, my captain.
Sit down, Mr. Anderson. You hear me? Sit down. Sit down! This is your final warning, Anderson. How dare you? Do you hear me?
Oh, Captain, my captain.
In light of this notion of respect threaded through the remains of the day, this scene illustrates the reverence towards the role of teacher, love towards the great guardians of knowledge. My guest today is Petal Miller, otherwise known as the Hope Dealer, by Helping Other People Excel. Petal possesses a multitude of titles ranging from author, publisher, presenter, trainer, and coach of the self-development program, The Mirror Challenge. Petal is also a pastor and has been such for nearly a decade. As a child of the late 1950s to Jamaican parentage, Petal has empirically witnessed the evolution of manners in England and Jamaica, fostering a unique insight into the expression of manners within different societies. Petal, thank you so much for joining us on Metaphorically Speaking.
Thank you very much for having me.
The metaphor that you're going to discuss is, for me, a very interesting one. And I've waited up until now to actually hear how it resonates with you, because it's so interesting. I want to know how the metaphor manners will lead you to the Queen's Palace, what it does for you when you hear it.
Well, this is giving away my age, but I'm old school. I still believe in manners. I still believe in respecting our elders and respecting each and every one, irrespective of our ages and stages in life. So I still say good morning to people. You know, I still say, can I help you? How's your day? So for me, you know, growing up, I was taught that, you know, manners takes you far. It will take you to the Queen's Palace, you know. So I still hold on to those values. I very much hold on to those values. And how we communicate with each other, how we talk to each other, and most importantly, how we treat each other. You know, from an infant, you know, I call little babies, I say master this and master that, you know. And I very much respect, you know, children and, you know, the different generations. And I have a lot of time and a lot of respect for the older generation, because that's how I was brought up, to respect my elders and to have manners. Please, thank you, all of that still part of my vocabulary and how I communicate with people day in and day out.
Where were you brought up?
Okay, so I was born in London. I was born, I'm going to say, Brixton, the Lambeth Hospital, or St. Thomas's. And this is definitely giving away my age. But yeah, my mom came in 51, my dad in 52. I think they were boyfriend and girlfriend in Jamaica. They got married in 53, and I came at the very end of the 50s. I just stayed in the 50s. Mm-hmm. And we lived in Brixton. I think I went to St. Matthew's primary school in Brixton. Yeah, we grew up in Brixton. And as I said, there is this adage whereby, you know, people come from the Caribbean to help build Britain, build London. And my parents, you know, they say you're going to be in the country for 5 years or 10 years and then you're going to go back. And my parents were determined that they were going to go back. So they made a decision in 1967 that they're going to take their three daughters, and I'm the eldest of three, that they were going to take their daughters back. So we all went back. Myself and my other two sisters, we went back in 1967 to Jamaica, Morant Bay, St. Thomas, Jamaica. And that's where I went primary school, high school. Then I went teachers college. And then I went to the University of the West Indies. And then I made the decision when I was about 29 that I was going to come back to London, come back to England. And so I came back when I was 30. So yes, okay. I've had two worlds. I've had a bit of a British, and then I went to Jamaica, and then I've been back now, 35 years.
Yeah, so, yeah, my gosh. I understand how that feels, because, you know, I come from a Caribbean parentage, but born in the UK. And I always thank my parents for letting me know that there is another way to live. I don't need to live in England for the rest of my life. And I have ensured that my children who were born in the UK, that they know the Caribbean too. So they know that they have some options. So I'm thinking, chances are, because of your parents' culture, that is where you would have heard the saying, even if it wasn't coined as such, as manners will lead you to the Queen's Palace. I'm assuming that they are the ones who would instill that in you. But can you remember whether anyone else, you know, whether grandparents or friends of the family, can recall perhaps a situation or an occasion where someone would have said that phrase?
It wasn't quite said like that, but what I do remember them constantly drumming in us as children, that manners will take you far. Mm-hmm. So that was the adage that we were used to. And, you know, you get up in the mornings, morning mom, morning dad, you know, you had to acknowledge people. You're on your way to school, or you're on your way to church, and you see your neighbor or people in the community, in the town where you grew up. And there is no way that you would be able to pass someone, you know, someone much older than you, and not say hello. And in Jamaica, you wouldn't even say to someone older than you, you wouldn't call them by their first name. So it wouldn't be hello, Petal. It would be hello, Miss Miller, or hello, Mrs. This, or hello, Mr. That. So we had to acknowledge our elders, and there was very much, you know, it's a village that makes a child, you know. So people around you were responsible for you, you know. So it says it takes a village to raise children. So yes, you know, we had to speak to people and talk to people, and you know, even manners at the dinner table.
Yes.
You know, manners at school, you know, when your teachers address you, you had to acknowledge. You know, I remember being in school, and the minute your teacher walked into the classroom, everybody got up. Good morning, Mr. So-and-so. Good morning, miss. Or good morning. That we had to do that, you know. And, you know, we were told that manners maketh a person, makes you, you know. So we had to show respect. And I feel very much that when we show respect, you know, when we give it, we also get it back. We also receive it as well. So, you know, we had to respect our teachers. We have manners, you know. Yes, no, please, thank you. You know, you don't just you know how I see language now, and how things are quite loose, and you know, people don't say thank you anymore. They don't say please. You know, they have. It's almost like people have an entitlement to things, you know, and so they feel they don't need to ask for something. You know, people think they must be given it. So I wasn't brought up like that at all. And I also was taught that the more you ask is the more you get. So, yeah. You know, so yes, if I'm told no, I might try again, or
yes,
try another, you know, try another time, you know. But yeah, and you know, going to church, being respectful of you know, the pastor, the priest, the vicar, again, you know, the elderly, the older people in our church. And let's face it, when I was growing up, anybody over 30 was considered old. Anybody over 40, we saw them as old. But there was this reverence. There was this reverence. There was this respect for people. And we would engage the elderly in conversations because we wanted to learn. We wanted to learn from them. You know, so yeah, that's where I'm coming from in, you know, in terms of manners, taking you to the Queen's Palace. It was very much part of our growing up, part of my lifestyle, and how I was brought up, and how I spoke to my parents. I was not fortunate enough to know any of my grandparents, but I had granduncles and grandaunts, and again, manners, it got you a far way, and manners is what makes you. So that's the era that I was brought up in. And until today, it's taken me definitely to the Queen's Palace.
Yes, well, you know, when you were saying all that, I was thinking of the other metaphor that everyone says, manners maketh man.
Yes,
manners maketh man.
Yes.
And I think that when I've heard take you to the Queen's Palace. I've always thought this must have been someone's great grandmother who's, you know, passed down, you know, because in those days the Queen was, you know, I'm not saying that it isn't, but it was the height of, you know, respectability and,
yes,
you know, that kind of thing. So yes. I can see the elderly, you know, saying it in that way.
Definitely.
And I really agree with you. And I think it's a very tough thing to say. I was around in those days when I can remember. This is what we were told as young people growing up to be respectable and responsible adults. And one of the things I love about the Caribbean is that it's still being used in the Caribbean. And sometimes I even forget when I, you know, like if I go somewhere in the Caribbean, I could just go to, you know, pay my electricity bill and I'll walk in and say, good afternoon, everybody.
Yes.
You know? You know, and you know, you might just, you know, go shopping and you see someone, you don't even really know them, but you've seen their face. So you just say hello, or you smile, or, you know, and then I forget myself. When I come to London, and I might go somewhere, and I go, you know, and then I say, oh, hello, good afternoon, everyone. And people like, look at me like, is she crazy?
What are you on? What are you taking? You know, how can you be so happy? How come you're always smiling or something? And I think growing up, right, for my mom and my dad, especially my mom, it was the look. The look just said it all.
Yeah, yes.
The look would say, you are in trouble, you are sailing very close to the wind here or something. It was just the look, right? Nowadays, you give kids the look, what's happening here? Mm-hmm. And for me, when I used to get a look from my parents, I know I needed to fix up, I needed to check myself. But these younger ones, they are asking you instead, why are you looking at them? They say, what are you looking at me for?
Yeah, it's true.
You know?
Yeah.
So yeah. It's like a culture, it's a culture shock, a generational shock, you know?
Yeah.
I would use the eyes on my relatives and my mom, and you know, my eyes would say, please, can I have some? And it probably would work. Mm-hmm. With younger kids now, that they're doing that eyes thing, and it's like, I must get it. You can't tell me.
No. Yeah, it's true, no. Oh my gosh, it's true. But you know, what have you been up to since those wonderful days of being brought up, knowing that eventually you're going to get to the Queen's Palace? You've put all that into good use. What are you up to, Petal?
Well, I am a trainer. I am a training consultant. I'm a presenter, facilitator. I am a speaker. I'm also an author and publisher. So I have several hats. I wear several hats, and I'm also a pastor. And so I wear these different hats. And I have been a teacher for 47. I've been a teacher for 47, 48 years. And I currently, I tutor kids, so I tutor children from the ages of 4 to 6 in maths, English language, and English literature. So from 4 all the way up to 16, up to GCSE level. So I've been doing that tutoring in London for the last month was 34 years. I have been a tutor. And as I said, I'm also a trainer. I've been a trainer for about 42 years. So I predominantly do training in management, leadership, personal development. And I also have a background in adult social care. So I train in a number of areas in terms of management, leadership, and adult social care. And I do a lot of training around written communication skills. And I'm an author. So I've authored the book, The Mirror Challenge, which is a training and coaching program. And I published the book myself. And I'm also a pastor. I've been a pastor over 8 years. So, yes, I'm an executive coach and I also do a lot of coaching.
Wonderful. So if someone wants to get in touch with you, how do they do that?
They can contact me via my website, which is www.petalmiller.com, or they can email me at plmtraining@aol.com.
Lovely. Well, Petal, it's been a pleasure talking to you, and I wish all the best. It's been a nice trip back into memory lane.
Definitely.
So thank you.
Thank you, Dahlia, for having me. I really, really appreciate this. Thank you. 'Cause he gets up in the morning, then he goes to work at 9, then he comes back home at 5:30, gets the same train every time. 'Cause his world is built on punctuality, it never fails. And he's all so good, and he's all so fine, and he's all so healthy in his body and his mind. He's a well-respected man about town, doing the best things so conservatively.
Now this is clearly tongue-in-cheek. But the Kinks released this number in 1965 with an obvious intent to satirize the somewhat archaic practices of the British middle and upper classes. This facade of law and order, whilst inwardly spiraling, is a trait closely associated with the early 1960s Britain and the emergence of counterculture. The monotony of daily life and the stiff upper lip complex resulted in a stark dichotomy en masse, revealing absolute compliance to social codes does not force the inner self, perhaps the soul, to comply, as remarked by Ray Davies within A Well-Respected Man. And his mother goes to meetings while his father pulls the maid, and she stirs the tea with counsellors while discussing foreign trade. Much like the nature of Davis's contention with 60s society, the song's facade of jauntiness and regimented instrumental structure juxtaposes the sinister lyrics, which expose the dissonance between outer conduct and inner thought. His father is attempting to pull the maid whilst the mother merrily goes to her meetings, and all appears just fine before you inspect a little closer.
Maketh man. Do you know what that means? Then let me teach you a lesson. Are we going to stand around here all day, or are we going to fight?
Now, honourable deeds are not always synonymous with morality. With regards to the traditional chivalric code, which is clearly demonstrated by Harry Hart, or Colin Firth's character in Kingsman, he is described as Galahad, which quite nicely harkens to the revival of medieval chivalry in contemporary society. Galahad was, of course, a knight of King Arthur's Round Table and acclaimed for achieving the Holy Grail. Defending oneself and those less fortunate are in some cases more important than other strands of morality. Again, nuance is everything. As Harry Hart quietly remarks, "Manners maketh man." Whilst bowling a pint of beer towards the head of a group of delinquents. He maintains composure and simply defends himself and the innocent around him.
I'm afraid, John, I can't congratulate you. All emotions, and in particular love, stand opposed to the pure cold reason I hold above all things. A wedding is, in my considered opinion, nothing short of a celebration of all that is false and specious and irrational and sentimental in this ailing and morally compromised world. Today we honour the Death Watch beetle that is the doom of our society, and in time one feels certain our entire species.
Even the likes of Sherlock Holmes, the ultimate maverick, is able to express his eccentricity whilst maintaining his manners. His conduct does not distract from his true nature. Essentially, the adherence to manners does not have to impinge on one's personality like it did with the unwaveringly loyal Stevens. Expressing reverence towards another human is not shameful. It is an act of love.
I don't like it here. I'm tired of being afraid all the time. I've decided not to stay.
Brooks was here. His assimilation into society after such a long sentence was outwardly unnoticeable to the average person, unaware of who this anonymous individual was and had been. Before ending his own life, Brooks ensures to dress in his best suit, describing his reason for leaving in a perfectly composed manner. It seems that his composure is reliant on his ingrained manners and impeccable social conduct, and it allows for Brooks to rationalize his reason for leaving. Well, I believe we've sufficiently explored the varying strains of this metaphor. Perhaps we could return again soon for another edition of Metaphorically Speaking. Questioning your instinctive responses and well-mannered reflexes to certain social interactions is really quite insightful because it reveals how you truly felt towards, let's say, a colleague at work or distant relative who you could never quite connect with for some unknown but intuitive reason. Essentially, trust your intuition and always equip yourself with the protective layer of manners. We can also view manners as a kind of conduit between ourselves and older generations who may no longer be with us. Manners are inherited through taught behavior via observation. Quite simply, manners show that you're willing to cooperate with fellow human beings. Though it might seem a little outdated, we're not so different from the chivalric world of 1390. Manners still remain integral to humanity. On that note, I hope you enjoyed dissecting this metaphor with me, and make sure to return for another episode.
Colorful Radio, Radio.
You understand what I'm saying?
Tell me what you've been thinking. See it in your eyes. Don't need to talk too much. Show me what I've been missing. See through your disguise. I think you should give it up. Oh, I've been feeling right. Think it's perfect timing for you to give your love to me. I made up my mind. There's no point to fight it. Think you could be the one for me. I'm kinda going insane, losing my mind.
start something new.
No replica,
no.
Smoothie, no regular, degular.
No.
Pretty for real, I'm pretty for my cellular.
No.
You don't say you're hot.
No.
They never had a pretty girl from Joburg to me now, and that's what they prefer. I don't touch no wheel, cause I got a chauffeur. First class, how I get around the world. Just miss me with the drama, unless you call me with the commas. Or DJ, turn the sound up, cause we about to pour the rounds up. From Jersey to Ibiza, they say it doesn't get sweeter. Feel my body banging like speaker. Ooh, sweating on my concealer. Skin tight, no millimeter. And my face can't make him feel weaker. But you know that my body is a healer. Ooh, I love to make it jump, 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 jump. Ooh, you know I love to make it jump, jump, jump. Dump, 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 back it top, top. You know I love to make it jump, 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 jump. You know I love to make it jump, jump, jump. Dum, 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 back it up, up. You know I love to make it.
Holy, gotta make a call and I'm here. Gonna wanna know your vibe, oh yeah. Listen to me, I put some carrots in your ear. Make this stitch up, I wanna put it in the rear. Wanna give D, I serve it like a dealer. You been out the while I'm digging in the middle. I'm begging Joe Bird, it can't feel no realer. Her perfect picture in a Polaroid. She a trophy, you know what? Have a sweet feeling like a sirloin. Told her show, take it, she's a nasty. Have a play with you, be a world war.
From Jersey to Ibiza, they say it doesn't get sweeter. Feel my body banging like speaker. Ooh, sweating on my concealer. Skin tight, no millimeter. And my face can't make him feel weaker. But you know that my body is a healer. Ooh, I love to make it jump, 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 jump. Ooh, you know I love to make it jump, jump, jump. Dum, 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 back it top, top. You know I love to make it jump, 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 jump. Oh, you know I love to make it jump, jump, jump. Dum, 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 back it top, top. You know I love to make it.
Original, girl, you want a replica?
No.
Smoothie, no regular, degular.
No.
More, more R&B classics coming up on Colorful Radio. We are not playing.
Let's go get 'em.
I breathe.
Casey and JoJo, Big C, J-Ho.
Come on.
Money Man with the master plan. Yeah, we back, and we for real this time. Yo, Jay.
Yo, Chris.
Talk to him, player.
I'm in love with money.
My friend, you took away my family. You broke her out of my world today. Tell me, why do you have to play these games with me? Is it necessary to spread these lies? Can you see your rumors ruining my life? And you just smile when your brother dies.
I got my bread right, D stack all night. It's all about them chips. Get rich and keep your game tight, man. Rocks. Even the pinky ice stuff, girls on my job, man. Ain't shit you can't cop like Bentleys, Ferraris, magazine stories. Big time ball and cash can get you all this, all Chris. Plus six on guest list. VIP in the club, smoking bud, taking trips.
I'm in love with money, it's my main thing. It makes me feel alright. It makes my heart sing. And when my chips get low, flip a twist and get some more. Check it in more anyway. Make me feel like paradise. I'm in love with money, man. I'm in love with money, man.
Don't hide, cause you won't find a place to stay. You sold your sister and your family. Your heart's stone cold and money rules your world today. Do you think money can buy you love? Are you sure money can save us all? Can it turn back to white and teach us how to fly?
Guess who's back? Man, see whose pockets fat on my block top drop. Girl, please ride with that. Yeah, they love the chips, tight whips and nice kicks. No more Mickey D's, home cooked meals and cheap flicks. It's on, they see your payroll is the bone. But all I wanna do is get brains and taste on. That's it, girl. Ain't no shopping sprees in this world. Please stop that stupid wrist twirl.
I'm in love with money, babe. It's my main thing. It makes me feel alright. It makes my heart sing. And when my chips get low, flip a twist and get some more. Check it in more anyway. Make me feel like paradise. I'm in love with money, babe. I'm in love with money, babe.
Money so tall, make the girls fall.
Damn, look at his rim. Look at his Tim's. He even got a matching 2G platinum ring, bling, bling. No, I ain't gonna talk about the watch from head to toe. Shiny suit that costs a lot. I floss a lot, keep it real and boss a lot.
And my band is looking nice on the parking lot. I drop the top, girl, you wanna ride or what?
That's all you need, boy, and you be ready to cut.
I'm in love with money, man. I'm in love with money, man. It's my main thing. It makes me feel alright.
Caught by surprise, it's almost